I'd like to read three scriptures, first in John's Gospel, and chapter 19 and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, "I thirst." There was a vessel, therefore, full of vinegar, and having a sponge, filled a sponge with vinegar, and putting hyssop around it, they put it up to his mouth. When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit. And then in the first epistle to Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. "For God is one, and the mediator of God and men one, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony to be rendered in its own times." Then lastly, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 35, "And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent to that whole country around, and they brought to him all that were ill, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made thoroughly well." We started with a hymn this morning which spoke of a work complete, and that just confirmed me in what I was thinking, to speak of the efficacy of the work of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The work that he carried out on the cross. John speaks of just the closing moments which the Lord gave up his life, but we know he'd been on the cross 6 hours at that point. We also know all that led up to it, that the one who'd come to reveal God, to bring blessing to men, had been betrayed by one of his closest associates, by one of the disciples. He'd been betrayed by those who should have recognized him, the religious authorities, the Jews. They had all the authority of the prophets looking forward from Moses onwards, should have recognized who he was, but in envy and a desire for their own position, they betrayed him, and he was delivered up to the Romans, who put him to death, the most cruel death reserved for felons and murderers, and had him crucified. But even more than that, we know that the Lord Jesus went to the cross, not just as a demonstration of love, although it was that, as we mentioned in prayer, God so loved the world that he was prepared, it says elsewhere, it pleased Jehovah to bruise him, because that was the only way, as we had in our hymn, that salvation could be offered to men. Whole price, the judgment of sin had to be paid. God is righteous and holy, and despite being love, he cannot overlook sin. But if you and I were to be brought into blessing, that judgment had to fall, and it fell on Jesus. We know from those touching scriptures speaking of his arms, agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, that the Lord Jesus knew everything that lay before him in depth, and yet he was prepared to go ahead with it. And so shortly after that, as we said, he was delivered up, and after a mockery of trials, he was taken and crucified. And he'd been on the cross for 6 hours, and certainly in the last three there'd been the darkness, and we have his cry, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We cannot understand what it meant to the Lord Jesus, who himself was God in his person, but had come into flesh, come into manhood, to be separated, even for a short time, but a time of intense judgment. And there he bore it all upon the tree. It was all poured out on Jesus. And then, at the end, Jesus, knowing that all things were finished, and then we have his word, "It is finished." All things were finished that the scripture might be fulfilled. The task that was set before him was perfectly fulfilled and fully fulfilled on the cross. The whole question of the redemption of the human race, the possibility opened up for blessing for all men, was settled there. It was finished. He knew that there was nothing further to do, and at that point he gave up his spirit and went into death. Of course, the matter was completed not only by him going into death, but by him rising on the third day and returning after meeting with his disciples and other ones maybe too, but he returned to the place which is his by right, at the right hand of the Father in the glory. but he returned with a work completely finished. Hebrews sets out to us that the sacrifices that were given under the law had to be frequently renewed, but this work never needed to be renewed. The claims of a righteous and holy God were fully met by the perfect sacrifice, Jesus offering himself there upon the cross, and the price was paid in full. And just actually to speak of the writer spoken of in the scripture in Timothy, for God is one, the mediator of God and men one, there was no other mediator possible. The Moses and the Aaron and the high priests acted in a measure as a mediator, but they had to go in on the price of blood being shed, not their own. They could not mediate between God and man in the way that the Lord Jesus did, but he gave himself. The man Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. The note there's interesting, it says, or a substitute, or in place of all. The work that the Lord Jesus did on the tree was for all those who put their trust in him. It was great enough that if every man, woman and child on this earth had come to the Lord in repentance and put their trust in him, then that sacrifice was great enough to cover for all of them. It just speaks of the heart of God, but he didn't provide something that only the lofty or the intellectual or the wealthy could go to. He made a provision that's there for all. And that's the same provision that remains today in the glad tidings. If you put your trust in Jesus and the work that he did at such cost to himself, but you understand that it is able to take away the whole question of your guilt before God, then you will come into blessing. You will be one of those for whom the ransom has been paid. The Lord himself actually speaks of giving his life a ransom for many. It's a sober thought that that great sacrifice will be of not in no effect for some, and that is why they will face the judgment, because not just because of what they've done, because they're sinners, but they've rejected the goodness of God offered at such price through the Lord himself going to the cross. The love of God for man reaching out in this wonderful way. Well, may we each have a deeper appreciation of what it meant, and may we each know what it is too, to know that we are one of those that the ransom was for. One of those, John, in the end of his gospel, speaks of believing and having eternal life, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, believing in his work and trusting in it. The testimony is still going out 2,000 years later. It may not be going out very much longer. We don't know. We're not given to know. But as we look at the things going on in the world around us, it doesn't seem there's anything more needs to happen before the Lord comes back. And it may well be very shortly. But the opportunity is still there. God in his grace is still offering it, that we might know what it is to come from those who are afar from God, removed through our sins, through what we have done, but we can have them removed and we can be brought back closely, brought back into blessing through believing in him. And I just read the scripture in Matthew because what we've read is God's side. On God's side, God has bountifully provided a way of escape from judgment, and more than that, a way into blessing and a way into eternal life through the giving of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But it does require that we need to come to him. There's two things that strike me out of this verse we've read. Firstly, they had to touch the hem of his garment. They actually came into contact with the Lord. You might say it was a very fleeting matter, just touching the hem of his garment. There were many who came even closer than that. Though there were those that the leper that he handled freely. There was the woman who had her flux of blood healed and was brought before him to speak to him. But here, it's just looking at, I think, speaks of humanity as a whole, that all it requires is that touch to come into contact with the Lord. And that's what we need to do. It's not enough to assent to the fact that he came here, and some say he was a good man and he suffered and died to prove God's love to us. Yes, he did. But we do need to reach out and have that touch ourselves, because there's nothing like it. You had an impression of being in contact with the Lord, then that's something that will stay with you and hopefully will grow with you throughout the rest of your time here. The other side to it was that as many as touched were made thoroughly well. That's what's available to you and I, dear friends. We sometimes have our doubts, we know we sometimes fail, but how wonderful to know that we've had a touch with the Lord and we've been made thoroughly well. Again, it just speaks to our side. God has provided the sacrifice, God has provided salvation, and if we reach out and avail ourselves of it, then we can be made thoroughly well. We know we fail, we know we have our failings, but to be in the knowledge that the sins have been taken away, that the judgment has been taken away, and that we belong to the Saviour amongst those who are looking for him to come to take to be with him in glory, then that's, I believe, we can know something of being made thoroughly well. There was no question that some people, their conditions, and some of them we read of, were pretty severe. There's no question they were just made a bit better. They were made thoroughly well. There's nothing lacking in the work of the Lord Jesus, and there's nothing that cannot be fixed and met completely by coming into his presence and having a touch with him. Well, I just trust that that was be the experience, has been the experience of each one of us for his name's sake. Amen.